have in front of me a little plaque. Got it from somebody or somewhere, I guess. And it says, put on the full armor of God. And of course, that great scripture is recorded in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. It talks about that. And in manifestations today, we've heard nothing about, except for the light of God's word and the light that we have and this sort of thing. And here to share with us this morning, the armor of light, believe it or not, it's Carmen Tornambi.
Yeah, I'm simply amazed and at the same time not amazed that light came up all three times very strongly and precisely in all three manifestations, and even in Steve's prayer, that the light of the word and God's word is light. And so the armor of light is something that is very significant in God's word, because without it, we'd be in total darkness, because God's word is light. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 13. Thank you, Nick, for allowing me to share this time this morning. And in Romans 13, we're going to be going to different scriptures here and going back and forth in a few places, so keep your Bibles handy. And we're going to look at Romans 13, verse 11 and verse 12. And if you don't mind very much, we're kind of going to kind of dissect these two verses. And if you do mind, well, that's okay. We're still going to do it anyway. Okay? Too bad. So Romans 13 and verse 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And that verse is power-packed. The word "and" is with emphasis. And I think it more should accurately be translated "also," but it could be used as "and," because it comes right after the scriptures where it talks about love your brother, love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, and there's no greater thing than love. But when we get to this verse, then it says "also this." It's a very emphatic. Put an exclamation mark beside that. Also this, the word "knowing." Now, I might throw out some words for you. You don't have to remember them, but eidotes, and it's not imperative, meaning it's not saying you must know. That's not the way the tense is. That's not the way it's written. It's in a nominative, which means that it's not telling them to know, but they already know. Knowing. You know, it's like it's raining. Okay, it doesn't say, you know, rain. I command you to rain, or I command you to be at peace. It is saying that you already know. It's knowing. You already know. Time, the word time. Kairon, it's not the normal chronos time, the regular time of day, okay? Not time in general, but it's a critical time. This word means a critical time. And pretty interesting here as we go on. The two words, high time, more accurately would be even already time. It's even already time or due time. I want you to turn to John chapter 16. John 16, the Gospel of John. It is due time, and that's what this word high time is. John 16, verse 21. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, right? Because her hour is what? Come. It means she's ready to have a baby. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Now, a woman, for her time, it's due time. She's due. Okay? You know, she's not going to say, "All right, I'm due, but I think I want to wait a little bit because there's this soap opera I want to watch on TV first, you know, and it's a really cool show that I want to see, and, you know, I need to catch up on it, so I'm going to hold off. Can you wait, doctor?" It doesn't happen that way. It's due time. and she's in this labor that she has to deliver. That's the time. That's high time for her. Okay. Sometimes we use the phrase, oh, it's high time you better, you know, it's high time you get a move on, don't you think? You know, it's a phrase that we use. It's already time, due time. The word awake, egerthanai, to be aroused. That is the word awake. And to be aroused means that someone has to arouse you. It's the same word that when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, somebody had to arouse him. And you know who that somebody was? God. God aroused him to be up, to be raised from the dead. God got him up, see. So that's the word awake. It's to be aroused by someone. Do you ever notice that maybe someone's speaking the word to you and it kind of wakes you up in certain areas of your life? You know, or you're maybe having a counseling session or something just hits you that you're having a conversation with someone and, wow, you're right, I never realized that. You know, and it awakens you, it arouses you. Sometimes it arouses you to action, but nonetheless, it arouses you. Out of is the word ek. Remember some time ago I explained the word ek, which means if you have a circle and you have out of or out or the word of, it could be on the outside of the circle, on the perimeter, or it could be inside the circle. This is the word ek, which is right in the center of the circle. So it's out from the middle. Okay, you are aroused out from the middle. What? The word sleep, hupnu, religious slumber. Can you imagine that? That's what this word means, religious slumber. And religious slumber could be anything. It doesn't have to be the corner church that has traditional religion and customs. It could be a group that you're hanging out with and become very religious, you know. It could be the gang that you're, you know, it could be the TV that you're sitting in front of and just become your religion, you see. Religious slumber. So don't categorize it in one, just in one area where people go to church, and that's religion. It could be many different things. The words for now, at this present time. So if you can imagine, at this present time, not yesterday, not tomorrow, but at this present time. The word salvation is the word wholeness or sozo. It's our complete wholeness, our final wholeness. You know, we've already received our salvation when we received Christ, when we believed in Jesus Christ, right? You have salvation. But the final salvation, the total wholeness, comes at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the salvation, what's the next word?
Near.
Near. It's close at hand. Close at hand. Then when we believed, and then when we believed, when we first believed in our heart that God raised him from the dead, Jesus Christ is Lord and God raised him from the dead. When we first believed or when we first became believers. So the time is at hand. The time is due. And it's nearer than when we even first believed. Now the next verse. Romans 13, verse 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Now, the first word we come across here is the word night. The night is the darkness. And from the context, remember we have to learn from the context, it's talking about spiritual darkness. It's not talking about physical nightfall. All right? It's a good example to see, but it's not talking about the physical nightfall that we have every day and night. Okay? It's the spiritual darkness. Far spent. The words far spent is advanced, grow worse, or grown worse, increased, making progress. I'll read those again. Far spent means to be advanced, to have grown worse, to have increased, and or to be making progress. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy 2. verse 16. And 2 Timothy 2:16 reads, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." And the word "increase" is the same word, okay, as advanced or making progress. "For they will be making progress unto more ungodliness." It's kind of a negative progress, but it's progress nonetheless. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3, verse 13. "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse." It's the same, wax worse and worse. It's have grown worse to have advanced. "Deceiving and being deceived." Now, you know, I heard a prayer this morning about this world and how, you know, things sometimes seem to be so screwed up in this world. And, you know, this is part of it. Evil men are growing worse and worse. Evil men are advancing. Evil men are making progress. They're deceiving. And they're also being deceived, obviously. The words "at hand." The tense indicates that the day has already drawn near. "At hand" means that the day has already drawn near. No need to wait for the day that is going to be coming and drawing near. It has already drawn near. And the word "cast off." Apothometha. No, I don't have a lisp. It's apothometha. Okay, sounds like I do. No lisp here. Apothometha is, let me tell you what it is not. Okay, now I like to dissect the words, and I like to dissect what the tense is and the moods and all kinds of things, okay? It's not in the affirmative mood, cast off. Cast off means to take off or throw off, you know, put away. It's like when you go to bed at night, you're taking off your day clothes, putting on your night clothes. And then in the morning, you're taking off your night clothes, putting on your day clothes. You cast them off, okay? You're taking them off. So it's not in the affirmative mood, it's not imperative, which means that it's not commanding you to cast off. What it's saying, that we should be casting off, like the clothes that we have on ourselves, every necessary opportunity. Now, in God's loving, infinite wisdom and love, He still has given us our freedom of will, right? You have the freedom of will to put off and to cast off these things, the works of darkness, okay? Nobody's going to make you. They can arouse you to the point where you realize it, but still, no one will make you do it. You have to decide. We all have to decide if we're going to cast off, okay? Cast off, it's a single action. It's an aorist tense, okay? It's a single action, but no particular time, all right? It's not the present, which means it's not perfect. In the perfect tense, it's not complete. In other words, if you cast off and you put off, is it complete? You never have to do it again forever? Uh-uh. Okay. Hey, that's not the way it's written. It's written as you have to do it once and then you might get aroused again and do it again and then again and then again. At every necessary opportunity, you cast off. Okay, that's what that is. We should be casting off at every necessary opportunity. And more accurately, it means to renounce. To renounce. And I'd like you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 22, start in verse 22. And the words here are the same words used, that ye put off. Cast off is to put off. In Ephesians 4:22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. We all know what that is, ain't it? The old man. We don't want that anymore in our lives. Although, does the old man sometimes come back as far as thinking, mm-hmm. our actions? You ever have old man actions? I think we all have had old man actions, which we really don't want to be involved in, but sometimes we do. You know, that which I would, I do not, and that which I do would not, I do. Paul. All right, that you put, Chuck, you laughing there? That you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that, verse 24, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Okay. So we move on here. The word works. Erga, E-R-G-A, erga. It's the deeds, the actions, the exerted power. Okay. It's your deeds, what you do during the day. It's your exerted power, your efforts, okay? Your works, your actions. Of darkness, the word darkness. We got to remember that this is not talking about physical darkness again, like when night falls, all right? It's spiritual. Keep everything in the context. It's spiritual darkness. Put on, as we read in Ephesians, the words put on. Is to clothe or array yourself. Now, if we're talking about the armor of light, what do you think of when you think of armor?
Metal.
Metal.
Protection.
You know, we're going to read some of them, but when you see, if you ever watch any old movies and you see armies, old armies like Roman armies, and they're what? Arrayed. You know, the word arrayed is a good word. You're arrayed in armor. Say, from top to bottom, from head to toe, we're arrayed with. And it, to me, when we're talking about the armor of light, arrayed is a more colorful word than the word clothed with. Okay? It just paints a picture of being arrayed in your armor. Doesn't it? Okay. So, to clothe or array yourself. It's the same tense as above. Meaning, it's not imperative, it's not perfect, it's not completed, and it's not a command. What it is that you should be putting on. You should be arraying yourself with the armor. Okay, you should be arraying yourself. The verse, the word, the very next word is armor. And the word armor can mean implements, it could mean weapons. Whether offensive or defensive, it could mean all those things, okay? The weapons, the armor, the implements that you have. Of, this is a very interesting word, of. It's a little word, T-O-U, tau, okay? And it's interesting how it is written. It's written in the masculine form. It could have been written in the neuter form. This word of could be in the neuter form, but it's in the masculine form. All right. And it is translated of the, T-H-E. Not just of, it's translated of the, should be more accurately. And then the next word is light, phos. 1 John chapter 1. Now pay attention here because remember what I said, it's written in the masculine form. And it should be translated the light, emphasis. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is what?
Light.
Some people want to say God is a female. Some people want to say God is an it. But this says God is masculine. It says a lot there because, you know, God had to give his seed to Mary, right? A woman can't do that. Right? Now, you can go on and on and on, you know, beyond what I'm talking about here, but just take it for the simple fact that what's going on today, it all started with God. Okay, man and woman. Masculine, feminine. Okay. And the things that are going on today with feminine and feminine, masculine and masculine, are just absolutely from the pits. No scriptural backing or anything for that, you know. It's just from the pit of hell. Period. This then is the message we heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him, in God, is no darkness at all. At all. Now turn to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. John 1, verse 1, starting right in the beginning. In fact, that's the first three words, in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. We're going to go on and see a lot of contrasts here between light and darkness, okay, good and bad. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Can we safely say that God is the light after some of the scriptures that we've seen? Can we safely say also, as we read on, that Jesus is the light? Okay. And can we say that the Word is the light?
Yes.
All right. We have the Word. If you want to make a, if you really want a Trinity, you might as well make a God, Jesus, and the Word. Yeah. Right? God, Jesus, and me. God, Jesus, and you. Okay? I say that loosely, but, you know, have you heard so many times through the years about the Trinity all in one? You know, God and Jesus Christ are one in purpose. We should be one in purpose with God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? But we can safely say that God is the Word, God is light, Jesus Christ is the living Word. Jesus Christ is light. And we have, as we heard, manifestations, the light. Right? I sang a song last week called Lights of the World. You know, we're the lights of the world. We shine in the dark. But we only got that because Jesus Christ is the light of the world. We wouldn't have it without him. Now I'd like to read Romans 13, verse 12 and 13, as I have explain some of these words to you in kind of an expanded form. Okay, so you can just listen. And knowing this very thing, we are in a critical time, and even now it is already due time, like a woman in the pangs of birth, to allow yourself to be aroused out of the spiritual sleep and the customs of religious slumber. For now, at this present time, is our spiritual wholeness and full completeness closer at hand than at the time that we first believed. Spiritual darkness of the night has advanced and progressively has and is growing worse. The light of the day of our salvation, the day of our salvation, has already and positively drawn near as the dawn of daylight. Kind of paints a picture for you when you see the dawn and sunrise and the dawn gradually. Okay. It is approaching! Exclamation mark. Because of this, we should be renouncing at every opportunity necessary the deeds and actions of moral and spiritual darkness. And conversely, we should be arraying ourselves with both the defensive and offensive implements and weapons of the light, which is the Word of God. And then, okay, that's 12 and 13, correct? Mm-hmm. All right. What's that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I'd like you to go to John? I think it's John. I forgot to write the gospel down, but it's John chapter 1. Verse 8. He was not that light. Is it John?
Yes.
Okay. John 1:8. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Right? This is John the Baptist. That was the true light, Jesus Christ, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And John chapter 8. Go to John chapter 8. And in verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. This is why I said that we could safely say that Jesus Christ also is the light, because the word says so. Not because I'm saying so or we think so. Okay. Then spake Jesus again, saying unto them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in what?
Darkness.
Following him is to put him on. See, we should be putting on the armor. We should be putting on the light. We should be putting on Jesus Christ. Shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And in chapter 9, John 9, verse 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Well, let me ask you something. Are you in the world?
Yes.
Do you have Christ in you?
Yes.
So what do you shed?
Light.
See, we are the lights of the world. Now, he is the light of the world, and because of him, we have light. And that's why we can walk as lights of the world. We can share God's word, which is the light. Matthew chapter 4. Very interesting verses here. I use the word interesting, and it's kind of a almost shallow word for this type of sharing. It's so much, 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 much more than the word interesting. But we should take note. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 16. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Light has sprung up to us. Thank God. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Ephesians 5, 14. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. Let's get aroused. Come on, folks, get aroused. And Christ shall give thee light. See, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. Christ shall give thee light. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But let us, who are of the day, be sober. Again, let us. We should be. Not commanding, but let us. We should be. We should be. Who are of the day, be sober. That's thinking with a right mind. And in order to think with a right mind, we have to what?
Put it on.
Array. Array ourselves. That's thinking with a right mind. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Now, I'd like to go to, if someone could please read, never mind, I got it right here. I thought I lost the word. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4. and verse 4. In whom the God of this world, and we all know who that is, right? Hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, the light of the what? Glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Okay, let's just picture this. God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. It shined in whose hearts?
Our
hearts. Does that mean that you're excluded because he was talking to these people and you weren't there?
No.
It's written to you, okay? It's written to us. He's shined in our hearts. And if you know what shine means, you know, you got a bright flashlight and you're shining, you're lighting something up. Okay. It amazes me how some of these new flashlights, they can just, I mean, they shine up the whole world, you know. It's just it's bright, really, really bright. Even the littlest, the smallest things. You know, I got this flashlight at home. It's a small thing, but it's so bright. Can't believe it. So we have... He commanded the light shine in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge. What's the knowledge? Remember in the class, Dr. Earl taught us, you know, it's not the knowledge of the look, life, or time. It's not the knowledge of the daily periodicals. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge of what? God's Word. And God's Word is light. See? God's Word is the light, the light. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. That's where we find God's glory, is in His Word. And here is in the face of Jesus Christ. When people look at you, they can see Christ. Okay? When I look at you, I see Christ. That's what you want, don't you? And but in order to do that, you got to put off the old, get rid of the darkness, and put on the new. Put on, array yourself with the armor of light. Array yourself with those spiritual, that spiritual clothing. And then they're going to see the face of Jesus Christ. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 13. Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly, as far as light excelleth darkness. Now you have, you know, we've heard as far as the east is from the west, and they never meet. Light and darkness are totally two opposites. We have to choose where we're going to be. Okay? You should be. You should be. Everybody say, I should be.
I should be.
Say it again.
I should be.
Nobody can make you. Nobody can make me. Nobody can make us. We should be. Okay. The light and the darkness. We should be arraying ourselves with the light of armor. The armor of light. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Now this says, put on the whole armor of God. Don't be skimpy, okay? And don't be cheap and stingy. Get it all, okay? It's like Jesus Christ. He's the bread of life, isn't he? What, do you want just a little crumb or you want the whole loaf? You want the whole loaf, don't you? There's plenty to go around. Your neighbor has it. The guy to the left of you has it. The woman to the right of you has it. We all have whole loaves. Why take a little crumb or a piece of the bread of life? Devour the whole loaf. Put on the whole armor of God, all of it, that ye may be able to withstand against the wiles or the methods of the devil, the ways that he works. Okay, we can withstand those things. We can withstand the wiles of the devil. Wherefore, verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole, oh, it tells you again. In case you didn't hear it the first time, eat the whole loaf. take the whole armor of God, all of it, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And the evil day is what? Approaching. Actually, the evil day is here, but the day of salvation is approaching. The evil day is now. Has already arrived. Okay, and this was back then. My God, how much worse are we now? Right. Where'd I end up here? Okay, withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. See, having done all. You have done it all. You ate the whole loaf. You put on all the armor. You're standing. Okay. Who can name those in Ephesians anyway? Who can name that armor? We have the helmet. We've already cut head, right? What else?
Breastplate of righteousness.
Sword of the Spirit.
It's interesting. The shield of believing. Feet shod with preparation of gospel peace. Loins girded about with what?
Truth.
You know what? It's interesting. If you read all those, the very last one, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is the only one, in our mind anyway, that is not defensive. It's offensive. Helmet is defensive. Breastplate is defensive. Feet shod is defensive. The loins, everything is defensive, but it's all considered the weapons of warfare. The only thing that's offensive is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Do you need anything else?
Nope.
Doesn't that tell you something? Yelling at you loud and clear. Do you need anything else? The offensive weapon that we have is the Word of God. What else do we need? See? God knew we'd have to cover ourselves from head to toe. Gave us a lot of defensive implements, right? He knew it, and we know it. We should know it. Okay? The wiles of the devil are immense and vast, if we haven't figured it out by now. Okay? But we have what? The Word of God, which is the light, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the light, the armor of light. Okay. Having done all to stand. Acts 26. Verse 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. And from the power of Satan unto God. All these contrasts just blow my mind. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And okay. Do we have time to read? I think we do. We have time to read Amos chapter 5. It's only 20 verses in there. Only 20 verses. Amos chapter 5. You find it?
No.
It's the white pages. It's the really clean pages of your Bible. Okay? The really clean pages.
It's right before Jonah. Obadiah, Jonah.
Yes. Okay, who has it? Okay. Let's see. John, would you read the first five verses of Amos chapter 5, verse 1 to 5?
Hear ye this word which I take up against you, even lamentations, O house of Israel. The virgin of Israel is fallen. She shall no more rise. She is forsaken upon her land. There is none to raise her up. For thus saith the Lord God, the city that went out by a thousand shall leave an hundred, and that which went forth by a hundred shall leave ten to the house of Israel. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live, but seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught.
Okay, verse 6 to 10. Okay, go ahead, Alan.
Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, with no one to quench it in Bethel. You who turn justice to wormwood, and lay the righteous to rest in the earth. He made the Pleiades and Orion. He turns the shadow of death into morning, and makes the dark day as night. He calls for the waters of the sea, and pours them out on the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. He rained ruin upon the strong, so that the fury comes upon the fortress. They hate the one who rebukes in the gate, and they abhor the one who speaks uprightly.
Okay, they abhor the one that speaks in the gate. You know, they didn't want to be aroused. They didn't want to hear it. There are people in this world that are going to be shunning you. They don't want to hear what you say. Have you ever run across that? They don't want to hear you? But praise God for the ones that do. All right. What do we have, 11 to 15? Ken, would you read 11 through 15?
For as much, therefore, as your treading is upon the poor, and you take from him burdens of wheat, ye have built houses of hewn stone, but ye shall not dwell in them. Ye have planted pleasant vineyards, but ye shall not drink wine of them. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just, they take a bribe, and they turn aside the poor in the gate from their right. Therefore the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as ye have spoken. Hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph.
Okay. More of putting on, taking off, casting off, and putting on, right? And in the last five verses, Steve, would you read 16 through 20?
Therefore the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord, saith thus, wailing shall be in all streets, and they shall say in all the highways, alas, alas. And they shall call the husbandmen to mourning, and such are skillful of lamentation to wailing. And in all vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord.
Okay, that's a figure of speech right there, because we do desire for the Lord to return. But those who mock and those who will not hear, go ahead.
To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. As if a man die, as if a man did flee from a lion, and a bear met him, or went into the house, and leaned his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark, and no brightness in it?
For them. Okay? For them. There is a day coming, folks. A day coming when they're not going to want to see that light. Okay? And they'll mock you, and they'll make fun of you, and they'll make fun of the Word of God and the light. We are the ones that are looking for that light, the brightness of day, the light of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's due time. See, that woman is ready to have her baby, okay? And you can't stop it, no matter what we do. But in the meantime, what we should be doing is what we read today. Should be casting off the works of darkness at every opportunity. And at the same time, at every opportunity, clothing ourselves, arraying ourselves with armor of light, that we can withstand in this evil what?
Day.
And having done all what?
Stand.
Amen, right?
Amen.
Okay. Thank you, Nick.